Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Thank you, Pastor Andy. What a privilege to be able to share with your church. And I'm thankful for the connection that we have with you, with Pastor Graham and Chris, and the late Pastor Hal Oxley. What a legend. And so I really value this opportunity. I want to speak to you about your series on good news and specifically on the benefits of Bible study. I'm going to start with a story. There was a little boy in Sunday school, and they were being taught on the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve eventually got to Noah and Noah's sons, and then the teacher decided to give them a test to write. And he had a problem remembering the names of the son of Noah, the three sons. And obviously they Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So he decided to make a plan. So he wrote those names on the elastic of his underwear. And so in Sunday school, when the question came up, who were the sons of Noah, he peeked and he wrote Shem, and peeked again and he wrote Ham, and peeked again and he wrote Jockey Jr. And obviously he failed that test. Now, when you study the Bible, it's not necessary that you are going to write a test or an exam, but we need to have good knowledge of the Bible. And I'm going to test your knowledge. You know, I read something about signs that you may not be reading or studying your Bible enough. And let me just give you a few of them. You hear the preacher announcing his sermon from Genesis chapter 1, and you actually have to go to your Bible's table of contents to find the book of Genesis. Here's another one. Your favorite Old Testament patriarch is Hercules. And one more. You fall for it every time the pastor tells you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians or 2 Episcopalians. And then here's one that I like. Your kids keep asking you too many questions about your usual bedtime story, which is Jonah the shepherd boy and his ark of many colors. So if your knowledge of the Bible is on that level, you obviously need to study it more. Why should we study the Bible? You know, I'm passionate about Bible school. Something that I've done for more than 40 years is teaching the Word. And I've realized the benefits of a Bible school, but it doesn't have to be a formal school. Sometimes people think that Bible study is only for the professionals. But Bible study is for every Christian, because there are so many benefits in it. Now, if you can be involved in a formal study of the Word, there are advantages of that too, because obviously you can do it in the church, you could do it in a home cell, but if you do it in a formal group, it helps you to stay connected to other people who can encourage you. It helps you to do it in an orderly and a systematic way. And you will probably have people anointed in the gift of a teacher that could be of great benefit for you. But what I want to do is I want to take you to the Word itself, to the Bible itself. And I'm going to show you the benefits of studying the Bible. And because I'm going to let the Bible speak, I'm going to use so many verses. I don't really have a foundational text, but if I could choose one, or maybe one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, then it would be these scriptures. In the Old Testament, Joshua has just been appointed as the new leader of Israel, and then God speaks these words to him in Joshua 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So God promises Joshua a prosperous life, a successful life. But this would come as a result of meditating on the book of the law, speaking it and obviously doing it. Now, if that is true of the book of the law, the old covenant, how much more can we be successful when we focus on the new covenant and the New Testament? Because God's blessings and God's benefits will certainly overtake us. So let me give you the New Testament scripture where Paul writes to a young minister called Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Paul says that scripture, if you start reading, studying it, can be profitable. And the Greek word that he uses here actually means to heap up, to accumulate, to gain, to benefit. So there are so many blessings, advantages, benefits of studying the Bible. And I'm going to give you some key words or some key phrases rather. And they all start with the letter D. I like to do that because I find that that's a tool to help your memory, basically my memory. And I want to start with this phrase. When you study the Bible, I'll give you two words. You will discover God. When I say discover God, God is not playing hide and seek with us. It's not that we have to go on a search and try and find him, because God is a revealer by nature. He will show us things, and he will reveal things in his word to us. It's interesting that in the Old Testament, Samuel, when he was a young boy, God already spoke to him. And in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 21, it says, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, obviously, at that time, it probably was God speaking to him. But in the same sense, today, God reveals himself to us in the written word. I sometimes find it strange when people cry out to God for revelation. And then the biggest revelation that God gave them, that God made clear to them, is lying on the bed table next to them, or it's in a bookshelf somewhere. God wants to reveal himself through his word. In 2 Timothy 3, the scripture I read earlier, it says the following in the Amplified, verse 16. It says, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration. So literally what God did, he breathed life into the word. He breathed a revelation of his very life into the word. And that's what we can get when we study the word. And it will help us. And verse 17 in the Amplified said, so that the man or the woman of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I want to say this to you. If you never receive a prophecy in your life, if never an angel appears to you, if you never see a light or a vision or have a spiritual dream, you, according to the scripture, you have what it takes. It's available to you for you to be complete. And thank God when he speaks to us through prophecy. But I want to say to you that you can get what you need about God in his word. He will reveal himself. I remember Kenneth Hagin saying these words. He said, sometimes we miss the supernatural in looking for the spectacular. And you know what? When you read God's word, you must realize it's a supernaturally inspired word, and God will show himself to you. Matt Brown, an American evangelist and author, put it this way. He said, don't say that God is silent when your Bible is closed, because God wants to speak to you. So we don't study the word just to become good theologians or Bible school graduates. We actually need to know God. That's what it's about. Getting to know God through Jesus Christ. And Paul in Philippians 3 says the following, and I'm reading from the Message. He says, all the things that he has achieved, he says, I count it as rubbish. He says, for this one very thing of knowing Christ and embracing Christ. And it's all about knowing Jesus. Because Jesus said that the scriptures speak about him. In John 5, in verses 39 and 40, Jesus speaks to religious Jews. And he says, basically, that even religious study of the scriptures can make you an academic, but you don't necessarily have a relationship with God. And so here's what it says in the New Century Version. You carefully study the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. They do, in fact, tell about me, but you refuse to come to me to have that life. So when you study scriptures, focus on learning more about Jesus, about God. And Jesus is the living Word made flesh. And he promised that he will reveal the Father. He came and declared the Father to us. And so it's important to take our Bible and come from that perspective. The second important benefit that you can get from studying the Bible is the Bible will direct learning. What do I mean by direct learning? Well, when we know the Bible, when we've learned the truths of the Bible, it will help to direct us to the specific and particular answer that we may need. You see, when you can find a scripture and there's a specific promise from God that will help you, then obviously you are directed to the solution. So when you read, you can sow the right seed to meet your need. Now, however, we don't study the Bible just for our benefit and our learning. So when you know the scriptures, it will help you to direct other people, because that's our calling, to help others to understand the Word of God. And I think it's important for us to do it in a way that we make it plain. The Great Commission of Jesus to the church includes this important charge of teaching and learning. Listen what Jesus says in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He says, go therefore and make disciples. Let me stop there for a moment. Not converts, disciples. And the word disciple essentially means learner, follower. So we need to make learners of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So Jesus emphasizes in a twofold way. He says, go make learners and then teach them. So there's a double emphasis in the Great Commission. If you think the Great Commission was just about winning souls, you're missing it. It's about making disciples, lifelong learners. And we need to help those learners. So Jesus says, teach them all things. What does that mean? Only going to the gospel. And you know, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible where the words of Jesus are printed in red, you think, okay, it's just those words that Jesus referred to. No, Jesus quite often quoted the Old Testament and endorsed it as the Word of God. Jesus, before he left the earth, said to his disciples, the Holy Spirit has so much more to teach you. At the right time, he will reveal these things. And we see it in the rest of the New Testament. So it's important for us to guide people to the right scripture. So you don't study the Bible just for yourself. You have to teach others. And I want to put it this way. God's gift, even the gift of illuminating your mind and revealing his words to you, God's gifts are not for keeping, they are for giving. God doesn't give you a gift so that you can hold on to it. You need to pass it on to someone else. Let me again read 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What does doctrine mean? Our English word doctrine comes from the Latin word doctrina. And doctrina is not a female physician. Doctrina and doctrine basically means teaching. So whenever you find the word doctrine, it speaks about teaching. So he says, we need to teach people. He goes on and he says, the word was given for instruction in righteousness so that people could be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, you know, if someone comes to you and asks you about a specific doctrine, say they ask you about the return of Christ, you can say to them, okay, it's in the Bible. Go and read the Bible. And they start in the book of Genesis. It's going to take a long time before they get to anything about the end times. So you need to be able to direct people to understanding the specific question that they might have in their lives. So this is why Paul earlier in Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, he speaks about this, and he speaks about how we need to, in a dedicated and orderly way, study the word. He says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. So, God wants us to teach others. And if you go to the word will direct your learning. I will never forget, I was flying to Bulgaria to go and minister there. And I was reading the in-flight magazine, and it was obviously a secular article about the corporate world. But I found a very interesting quote there, and I'm going to apply it to the church in my own words. Basically, here's what I saw in that article, that this person said to the manager, the CEO of a big company, why don't you train your people? And this person said, I'm so scared that they might go to another company. And the answer was, what if they stay? And I want to say this to every pastor, to every leader in the church. If you don't train people because you're scared they might go somewhere else, what if they stay? We need to direct the learning of people. Let me get to the third benefit. Studying the Bible will disclose mysteries. We need revelation knowledge. We need spiritual understanding of the Word of God. And one of the major ways, as I said, that God reveals himself is through his Word. And in Ephesians 3 and verse 3, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he speaks about revelation. He speaks about illumination that will come. And listen to what he says. He says, as I briefly wrote earlier, he's referring to chapter 1, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan, this mystery regarding Christ. So God wants to disclose his mysteries to us. If you think the Bible is a closed book, it's because you don't open it. Open it and God will open it. God will reveal himself. In Matthew 13, Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says these words to them. He says, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So God wants to reveal to his children, to his disciples, he wants to reveal the truth of the word. So if we don't open the Bible and see what it's about, we won't understand these mysteries. Now, I don't want to say that the Bible is written in a kind of a code that you need mathematical skills and a computer to understand it. You know, there was a book that was quite popular a few years ago, and people probably didn't realize this. I saw it in Christian bookshops, that it was written by a Jew who was an atheist. But it was called the Bible Code. And I don't want to make it notorious, but basically it was based on this premise that you need to read the Bible from the Hebrew and then take every seventh letter in the Hebrew because there's a hidden message in it. You see, that would mean that you have to understand Hebrew, that you have to be a mathematician, and God has revealed these things to little children. In fact, that's what Jesus prayed in Luke 10 and verse 21. He thanked the Father that he had hidden these things from the so-called wise and revealed them to the little children. So the Holy Spirit lives in you as a believer, and he wants to reveal those mysteries to you. I heard someone actually put it this way, said that the Bible is so simple, you need somebody to help you to misunderstand it. And God will show you his mysteries if you're prepared to go and study it. Benefit number four, listen to this one. Studying the Bible will displace ignorance. Because God's word gives you understanding in the place of ignorance. Listen to Psalm 119, and that's such a beautiful psalm, by the way. It deals with the topic of God's word. And here's what the psalmist says in verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Can I speak in a direct way? If you are simple, you don't have to remain simple. Because God's word gives understanding to the simple. I remember one pastor who had a way of speaking about people who didn't understand things, and he said, stupid is forever. I have good news for you. Stupid is not forever. God wants to help you, and he wants to displace that ignorance. In Hosea 4 and verse 6, we should know the scripture very well. God speaks to Israel, and he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that is what happens when you reject, forget, ignore his knowledge, his word. Then destruction is the result. I find it interesting in the New Testament when Paul writes, at least four occasions, he uses this phrase. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant. And what does he do? He writes about the topic that they might not have knowledge about. And the Bible will bring knowledge. But more than knowledge, the Bible will give you wisdom. You see, knowledge is when you receive the facts. Understanding is when you interpret the facts. Wisdom is when you apply the facts or the truth of the Bible. And I like what someone said, the Bible is wisdom in cold storage. When you apply that, you will see that God will give you knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Next benefit, number five. Studying the Bible will declare truth. And it's so important for us to understand truth because God's truth is found in his word. Again, Psalm 119, listen what it says in verse 160. The entirety of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Jesus, in the New Testament, he prayed to the Father, and he said on the eve of his crucifixion, he said, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. I'm going to come back to the scripture later, but I just want you to see that you find truth in the word of God. Now, I want to read another scripture in John's gospel, and this scripture is often misquoted or even mutilated. Because here's how people quote it. Let me just give you the quote, and then I'll read the scripture. People quote it this way. They say, the truth will set you free. It's not what the scripture says. Let me give you the background to it. John 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus spoke to the Jews who believed him. And Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, learners. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So when will the truth set you free? When you believe, when you become a learner, a disciple, when you follow the teaching of Jesus, and when you know the truth, that's when its explosive power of liberation can become a reality in your life. So coming back to the words of Jesus when he stated that the truth of God's word could sanctify us or cleanse us, the same principle applies here. The word of God is available, but it won't cleanse you. It won't sanctify you until you apply it. Reinhard Bonnke said these striking words on a television program when he was on a panel with an atheist. The atheist challenged him and he said to him, "Why, if God saves people, if Jesus died for our salvation, why is the whole world not saved?" And I like the way that Reinhard responded. And he said to him, "You know what? You can work in a soap factory and still smell and still be dirty and smelly." And that's so true. Salvation is available. The truth is available to everyone. But until you accept it and apply it, it won't cleanse you. It won't sanctify you. Here's benefit number 6. When you study the Bible, it will denounce error. Because sound doctrine is a safeguard against error. It will disprove falsities. It will dispute and demolish the lies, because we know that the devil is a liar. In John 8:32 that I read earlier, Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Also from error. The truth will set you free there. Knowledge of the word of God, not our intellect, not our cleverness, but knowledge of the word of God will help us to overcome wrong ideas. And remember the scripture where Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 29, and he spoke to Sadducees there, and he said to them, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." So if they knew the scriptures and God's power, they would not have fallen in error. There's an interesting fact that I want to share with you about the U.S. Secret Service. It was founded in 1865. And when it was founded, this was their sole mandate. It's still part of their mandate, but it's much broader now. Their sole mandate was that they had to recognize counterfeit U.S. currency. And they would train these agents day by day. They would come in and there would be a real dollar bill on their desk. And they would study the size, the design, the color, the distinct details, the lifelike portraits, the letter spacing, the paper texture, and even the absence of toner or ink droplets. And then there were the usual security features like serial numbers and watermarks and optical variable ink and fine line printing and micro printing and an inscribed embedded polyester thread. So they studied that real thing for weeks. And then one day when they walked into the classroom, there was a counterfeit bill on each desk. And they immediately recognized it. Why? Because they knew the real thing. And you know, sometimes we study, people want to know all kinds of things about the devil, about the occult, and they want to study all these false things, but they don't know the real thing. Let me again quote Kenneth Hagin. He said, if you want to be a successful believer, you need to know 3 things. You need to know who God is, who you are in Christ, and who the enemy is. In that order, don't study the enemy first. Know who God is and go to his word. So here's what I want to say. You can become God's special agent, not a secret agent, because God doesn't have secret agents. But you can become a special agent, and you don't have to be deluded by the devil, because you can know the truth and it will denounce error. In Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15, Paul speaks about winds of doctrine that would sway people, that would toss them to and fro. And he says, but you need to speak the truth in love. And here's what I want to say. I'm surprised sometimes how people are swept away, not by a howling hurricane of heresy, but by a tiny breeze of triviality because they don't know the word. And the word of God will denounce error. Let me conclude this part because obviously we have two parts to this series that I'm doing. And I want to conclude the first part by saying, Paul warns in 2 Corinthians 2:11 about the devil wanting to take advantage of us. But then he says this, we are not ignorant of his devices. So if you replace ignorance with a knowledge of the word, the word will help you also to denounce error. And then the good news is this. The devil won't have the advantage. You will have the advantage over the devil because you can use the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these people. And I thank you for the word of God that speaks so clearly about how we can be blessed, how we can be successful in life, how we can benefit from studying your word. I thank you for sparking within them that interest, that love, that passion for the word of God. And let them truly be disciples, lifelong learners. And I thank you, Father, that they will become serious with your word and they will enjoy these blessings that will come from it. In Jesus' name. I thank you, and I'm looking forward to part two because there are so many benefits that we still have to cover. I hope we'll be able to cover all of them. God bless.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dave Molyneux, and this is my family. And today I'm thrilled to be able to come and share communion with you. It's been great over the last few weeks to have a number of different people involved, and I'm grateful to be able to share today. In our reading from the early church, you'll see that the early church got together in homes and they would have what they would call the love feast. And so people would come and it would go for hours and different people would bring different things to contribute and they would sit for hours and ultimately they'd wrestled out conversations about Jesus. Different people would just have their say about what they had found, what they had discovered about Jesus. And that was how church sort of operated. And so today we're not meeting together, but we're in our home. And I just wanted you to get just a small taste of, not that you're going to taste this, but get a small understanding of it's not just about a bread and a cup, that it's actually a generous, warm invitation for us to come and really lean into Jesus today and to really grow in ourselves. We remember Jesus, we remember his death and his resurrection, but it's not just a stingy celebration. It's actually a generous celebration. And so I invite you to feast with us today with whatever you have. This series that the church is starting today is good news, and I think communion's good news. It's good news that we can come together, and I've got a reading from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Last week, if you saw the communion, we heard from Teresa Berry, and she was talking about how God takes our brokenness and he makes us whole. And that just means so much to me. And one of my favorite scriptures is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So it's not just for us. It's for us to help others be reconciled with Christ. So today, we can give testimony. We can talk to each other while we're eating our food. We can tell each other stories of what Jesus has done in our lives. And I invite you and I encourage you that you do that in your family, wherever you are today. But we used to be broken and we came to Jesus and he reconciled us. We were away from God and now we're reconciled to him. And so today you might have brokenness, you may have some trouble, you may have some pain, a lack of peace, you may be living in distress. But we bring that to God and he turns our circumstance around. What was dead comes back to life again through Jesus. And so today, as we do this thing called the Love Feast, we remember what used to be before Jesus came into our lives. But now Jesus is here, it's completely changed. The dead has come back to life. And so today, as we hold our communion, we just pull apart some bread and we share it together. We use this just as emblems of Jesus' broken body. We've got juice here as an emblem for Jesus' blood. And so today, let me just pray for us as we take our communion together. And so, our Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful that you are the one who has taken the old and you've made us new. Thank you for the death and resurrection of Jesus. Thank you for these emblems that we hold in our hands that allow us to remember Jesus. But we know that Jesus didn't just stay dead. We thank you for the resurrection. And so today, we gratefully take our communion, celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so I invite you just to receive your communion. We're going to take it ourselves, but from our family to yours, we pray every blessing upon you during this time, and we can't wait to see you and fellowship back with you in church again. God bless you. Amen.